Mind a scripture, but just before we turn to it, it occurs to me in regard to the matter of autumn leaves. You know, it may be that the hymn writer is not as far off as we thought, and I don't say this in contradiction to what has been said, because what has been said is very important. But you know, when the tree has finished with its leaf in the summer, it's using the light to provide energy for the tree to grow. And this, of course, is what God has designed into the tree. It withdraws sustenance from the leaf, and the leaf dies, and then it drops off in the autumn. And you know, that's one way in which things which are not helpful for us must be dealt with. We have two natures, don't we? And there are those things connected with the old nature that we're told to put to death, to consider as dead. And of course, the problem is that very often we're content with, we like these features of the old man. And we consider them dead, and we go on for the Lord. And then something happens and we think, it would be nice to bring that little whatever it is out of its cage. And we feed it. We go in for it. And it revives and becomes part of our life. And so, you know, in one way, I think this is maybe not so far wrong. That we must, whatever these things are for us, we mustn't feed them. If we give them room, they take over. So we withdraw that which they need to thrive, and in that sense maybe they'll drop off. I just add that by way of perhaps another way of looking at it. What I had in mind, brethren, was just to take up some of these characters that have been before us in Philippians, and we had, of course, the beloved apostle himself. And then we had before us Timotheus, and lastly Epaphroditus in the second chapter of Philippians. And I wonder whether we might learn some lessons from just very briefly considering these three. We might consider them in this way. Paul, of course, having a very special place. He was an apostle. We might say he was unique among the apostles. And we don't have the apostle with us. We don't have brothers to whom we can look as apostles, as we do Paul. Of course, we have Paul's teaching. And we have, in this sense, we have Paul. And we've also considered this afternoon that exhortation to be like him, to imitate him. As elsewhere he says, he is an imitator of the Lord Jesus. Then we have Timothy, and we remarked briefly that, of course, Timothy is a delegate of the apostle. And no longer do we have the apostle's delegates with us. We don't have those who were directly appointed by apostles. So you may say, well, Timothy's not one that we can aspire to follow. But then if we turn to the second epistle to Timothy in the first chapter, it's a very familiar portion. Second Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." And elsewhere, Paul exhorted Timothy not to to let others think less of him because of his youth. And I want to draw out the importance of this matter that was evident in the life of dear Timothy. You know, we don't get any mention of his father or grandfather, but we do have these two dear women, his grandmother and his mother. And it's clear that this young man, Timothy, he learnt of the things of God at the feet of his grandmother and mother. And some of us, many of us, are thankful that we have been brought up in Christian homes, that we've had godly mothers and grandmothers, and fathers and grandfathers too. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful heritage to have, a Christian upbringing. And I wonder whether we value it as much as we ought. And there are many here who have been brought up well. They've been presented with the Lord Jesus as a personal saviour, but they've also been presented with Paul's teaching in a practical way. They've been brought to the meetings. They've seen order. They've seen the liberty of the Holy Spirit. They've seen these things which we read and we accept from the apostles' teaching as being for us today. And it's a joy for us to see. I mean, I've not been coming here as long as Simon, but I have for a number of years. And I remember seeing over there on a seat a little boy whose feet didn't touch the floor. And that, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but you know, it's lovely to see such reading the scriptures in the reading. And what an encouragement it is for us to see children growing up into maturity in the Lord's things. So, a little word of exhortation. We may feel that we're not able to take the place of a Timothy. And yet in 2 Timothy we have this clearly wonderful work that these two sisters have done. So here's a word to the sisters of the wonderful importance of bringing the Lord Jesus and the scriptures to the little ones. And, you know, being a father myself, I appreciate more and more the value that a wife and a grandmother has, the opportunity they have of being with the children perhaps more of the time in the day. So it's a vital role for Christian women today. You may say, well, that doesn't apply to me, I don't have children. Well, you know, these mothers and grandmothers, they need encouragement and they need fellowship, they need help. And there are plenty of portions we could turn to where the older women are to teach the younger women. So none of the sisters need feel excluded from having before them a sphere of service. So it's a wonderful thing that we have a role, and increasingly so in these days when so many wrong things come in schools, and the peer pressure and society in general, and for the parents to be able to instill godly ways before these things come in is a vital, increasingly vital matter. But then, of course, there's another, an almost opposite danger, that those of us who've been brought up in a Christian home, we don't value these things. And sadly, we can also think of those who've been brought up in Christian homes, and perhaps now they've gone into the world, or there's very little evidence of these things. So we must be careful not to take these things lightly, to despise them. And maybe we feel that we've missed out on life's experiences. Our parents didn't let us do that. They didn't let us go to this. And we resent it and we despise it. And this is a tendency. And when opportunity presents itself, perhaps we take the opportunity to explore these things from ourselves. And sadly, If we do that, we learn the hard way that if we drink or try and drink from the broken cisterns of this world, we find they're dry. So that, you know, there's a warning to us to value these things and to value where God placed us. And we feel, as we read from the very beginning of Scripture, the principle that God has of setting us in families. It's a divine principle. And this is being attacked. A family unit is not considered to be a God-given. It's not considered important. And we know all sorts of ways in which this is being attacked. We've heard of these, we'll say drive-by shootings, but cycle-by shootings. And we learn, well, these youths, one of the things they seem to have in common is there's no father figure. No father figure. The family unit doesn't exist, and we see society breaking down. So it's something that we as believers can take up and value, that God has set us in families, and to give our children and the younger ones all the help and encouragement we can give. And then we think of these ones as they get a little older and they go off. As I've said, the danger when the constraints are off and that perhaps they move away from home for studies. A big danger there. But there's a danger also if they become involved, they want to enjoy Christian fellowship, and it's a very good thing that they do that. But, you know, we read, didn't we? In fact, it's a little later in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. All in Asia have turned away from me. It's not that they've given up Christianity. They've not given up the law, but they've given up Paul. They've given up Paul's teaching. And if we want to see this today, we can say Asia's really a picture of Christendom. Christendom is in general has given up, abandoned Paul. And so the other danger is for our young people that they come face to face with Christians who profess to be Christians who've given up or never taken up Paul and his ministry. And there's a danger in that because we've been brought up in a certain way, and perhaps we have a question in our minds. Well, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that, we don't do things in this way. And maybe there's something in it. Maybe there's some good in it. And the danger is that we're led into those things which we spoke of. Ritualism. And ritualism, that connected with earthly worship, is not only in the cathedrals, in the, we might say, high church, but probably more so nowadays in popular churches. What's popular, what's lively, appears to be lively, appears to be full of life. That's as much ritualistic as the other end of the scale. And dear younger ones, and us older ones, we need to appreciate what it is that God wants in regard to spiritual worship. These things, they may have a natural appeal. But you know, I remember a brother from New Zealand years ago saying of another one who had left the gatherings to go amongst charismatic Christians. And he said, I said to him, you had more liberty when you were among the gatherings than you do now, where apparently there's much liberty. You know, perhaps we think of ourselves a little bit straight-laced, restricted, constrained. We are so intent on seeking to do things by the Scripture that there's a lack of liberty. And this is the way many view it. You know, we should really value the liberty we have. There's greater liberty when we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit than when we go in for these things, which are essentially attractive to the emotions. Just a little word of warning to our younger ones who, you see, I had this experience myself. I went to study, and I came across all sorts of things for which I was just not prepared. And I was presented with things. I didn't have an answer for it at the time. And I suppose I was a late starter. I had a lot of catching up to do. But you younger ones, you have had set before you truth in a way, an orderly way. And I trust the Lord will help you to have your right judgment of these things, and to value, as our brother Simon was saying, the little gatherings of the twos and the threes. It's not a bad thing when we're younger to be put in a place where maybe we have to take more part than we might do if we could hide ourselves in the back row. Of course, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but it's a wonderful thing when we're given an opportunity to give voice to the affection that the Lord has put in our hearts towards Him. And I know those of you from the little meetings where some of these younger ones have gone will give them every encouragement and opportunity to take part in a way which is appropriate. Then, so that's Timothy, who had benefited so much from his mother and his grandmother. And then the last character that we came across, Epaphroditus. And he's spoken of as Paul's companion in labour and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants. And we could also perhaps look in 2 Timothy verse 16 of Onesiphorus, who oft refreshed me, Paul says, and was not ashamed of my chain. And this is where I believe we all come in. We accept we're not living in an apostles' day. Neither are we living in the days of the apostles' delegates. And we may say, well, we're neither a Paul nor a Timothy. But, you know, in every single case, we can be perhaps one of these two who, we might say, is a third generation and is representative of the days in which we find ourselves at the end of the testimony, to be a fellow labourer, to be a fellow soldier, and to be a messenger, and to be one who ministers to the wants of others. There's so many opportunities for service. And perhaps there's more opportunity for the sort of service which is not platform service, but behind the scenes. How much has gone on this week behind the scenes? You know, those of us who are visitors, we arrive here, we've only ourselves to think of. We get here and all is prepared. But what about all that's gone before? And the work that goes on behind the scenes early in the morning, before and during the prayer meeting. And then when we all go off, the work that goes on. And these things they don't go unnoticed, dear local brethren, and we're very thankful for it. But this is just an example of what it ought to be, normal Christianity. The work that goes on behind the scenes, and the opportunity we have to help and encourage one another. So I just wanted very simply and briefly, brethren, to perhaps just bring a word which any of us might be able to take home. The younger ones, they have a special place in my heart, concern for them, and one is cheered to see them going on, and I want to encourage it in the right way. But there's maybe some of the older ones, they feel more restricted. Well, we have Timothy, a dear grandmother, and of course it doesn't exclude grandfathers, or those of a grandfatherly age. And how much we need this in a spiritual sense, don't we? We need spiritual fathers, and we need spiritual grandfathers. Perhaps we've been mindful these past few years how much of a dearth there is of those who are spiritual fathers and grandfathers. We're perhaps missing those with the maturity and experience, and those whom we have, of course, we value very, very dearly and very highly. But, you know, time marches on. If the Lord leaves us here, we're growing into these roles. Some of us still think of ourselves as the young people, and we realise that we're not. We're the middle generation, and so we grow on. Well, we have to bear in mind there are those perhaps who are looking up to us and will be looking up to us. And what sort of example are we setting? What testimony are we setting? Very challenging matter, isn't it? As we think of those who look up to us. And we often forget that people notice things more than we think. And we need to be on our guard. And our lips need to be guarded with what we say and what we do, for these things are taken note of. So, dear brethren, I just leave that with you. I speak to my own heart. But I'm sure in looking at these characters, we ought to find something for ourselves. Whether there's a role for us as a grandmother or a mother, a grandfather or a father, or even just to be an Epaphroditus, to be for the Lord and for the Lord's servants, our brethren, to be a brother, a sister, a companion in labour, a fellow soldier, and a messenger, and a minister to their wants.